Welcome again. So glad to see you all. When I get up to preach, actually every Sunday, whether I'm leading worship or preaching, I'm just a little jittery. I get a little nervous after doing this as many years as I have. I've been here at this church for 15 years, and every single week I get up here, and I'm still nervous all the time. There's always like this feeling of hoping that you don't say or do something kind of silly or something you didn't intend to do. But this morning, I feel like I definitely will not be that goofy. So I appreciate that intro because now I'm kind of off the hook. It can't get any crazier than that. So anyway, I'm glad that you're here this morning. Again, my name is Nick, and I'm one of the pastors here at this church. And if we haven't officially met, my name's Nick, and your name is?
Carol.
Okay, Carol's here, nobody else, apparently. But we can work on that later. Nice to meet you, Carol. Let's talk after service. I really am glad that you are here this morning, and a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Dennis had given me the opportunity to speak on a Wednesday night, and prior to that message, I had shared with him that just with a variety of things that were going on in our lives, the Lord had kind of pointed me back to a message that I had written and preached about a decade ago. I had just kind of dug these notes out of my own files and had been looking through these things because just a variety of circumstances in our lives personally, I felt like this was something that God was still wanting to teach me. And so I just had been reviewing these notes, and Pastor Dennis gave me the opportunity to speak, and I shared this message on a Wednesday night just a couple of weeks ago, and then we had talked later on that week, and he had asked me to speak again today, and so I thought, well, I've already dusted the cobwebs off of this, so I'm just going to go for it again. So for a few of you, you may have been here a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and if that's the case, I hope that this message, you can still get something out of it again this evening. But like I said, this is something that God has been working on in my heart, and I feel like there are lessons in our lives that unfortunately we kind of have to keep coming back around to. You know, different phase of life, different circumstances. Maybe, you know, whatever you're going through right now, maybe it is something that perhaps in your previous years at some point God has dealt with you or taught you things, but for whatever reason, we just need to kind of circle back to lessons from time to time. And that's where I'm at right now. I just need this reminder from the Lord. But I'm curious, as we jump into this, how many of you would say right now there is something in your life that you are worried about? Can anybody be honest about that this morning? You would say you have some worries. So there's probably the majority of the hands are going up in the room. A couple of weeks ago, because we were a smaller crowd, we had a little bit more time. I had the opportunity to actually walk around the room and actually pass the mic around and say, what are you worried about right now? And I mean literally, and I want you to think of that this morning. If you could be honest and you could tell everybody here in the room what it is that you're worried about, what would you say this morning? And I think for a lot of us, we don't have to think too deeply or too long about that. We know exactly what's on our mind and what is weighing on our thoughts. We're worried. We're pretty good at doing that. Worrying about things is not necessarily something that people have to be taught. You don't have to be, raised up to be a worrier. I think that some people are better at worrying than others. I'm pretty good at it. I'm a professional in this area. But most of us, we learn to worry in our lives pretty naturally. We're raised up to worry about things. It's something that comes really naturally to us. And I think for all of us, and one thing that we share is that the most helpful thing we can possibly learn or hear in the midst of a season of worrying about things is what? Don't worry about it, right? Isn't that really helpful? When you've got something that's big on your mind and you're thinking about, man, how are my finances gonna hold up this month? I'm not sure that I've got all I need to pay for all I need. Or maybe you're thinking, I really have this important step in my career coming up. It's just around the corner, whether it's an exam or whether it's a promotion or whether it's trying to find a job. Maybe you've got something career-wise that's really huge in front of you. Or maybe there's some sort of diagnosis that you are in the process of seeking. You don't know what the answers are, but you know that something's wrong and maybe you've been to the doctor over and over. Or maybe there's a relationship and you're not really sure what the status is of that relationship, whether it's a spouse or maybe it's a relationship with one of your kids, or maybe it's some friendship you have in your life and you feel like things are just not right and you're worried about it, right? Different scenarios, they can just kind of get put on repeat in our minds, and we just cycle those thoughts over and over and over, and the most helpful thing we can be told is, don't worry about it, right? Because it makes it all go away, and then things are better. You just move on, and you learn to move to deal with it in life, right? Is that everybody else's experience? Because for me, when somebody says, don't worry about it, I'm just over it, right? So I am alone, okay. Worrying is a thing that is very natural to us, and it's something that nobody can just tell you to stop. You can't just tell somebody, stop worrying about that, and then all of a sudden they're over it and it's done. But I love how in the scriptures, and we're gonna get to this scripture a little bit later, that's pretty much what Paul does for all of us, basically. At a certain point in scripture, he's like, hey, stop worrying about that, right? That is the message that we're given. But I think that for all of us, since we're on the same page, I think it's important to point out a few things about worry so that we know what is worry. We know we've experienced it. We know some of the things that are on our minds this morning. But maybe if we dig a little bit deeper, we can establish some common ground about what worrying is, maybe some things that what worrying is not, so that we can all get some tools to walk out of here a little bit better this morning. 10 years ago, as I was putting this message together, and again, this has been so helpful in my life here recently again, to reference these things, but I came across this quote from a guy named Chuck Swindoll. Anybody remember Chuck Swindoll? He was a very famous name several years ago in the church, but Chuck Swindoll calls worry the universal addiction. That kind of stings a little bit, doesn't it? Anybody want to admit that you're addicted to worry? I don't. I don't want to call what I experience so often, I don't want to call it an addiction. I definitely don't want to be thought of as having an addiction. But Chuck Swindoll labels it as the universal addiction. And I think that that's a little painful because it feels so close to home. I think that a lot of times that's my natural reaction when I face uncertainty is to immediately go into this phase of worry. Like, oh man, what am I gonna do? I don't know how in the world this is all gonna pan out. Another author says it this way, it's the most prevalent sin in the church today. Worry is the most prevalent sin in the church today. And hearing that one stings a little bit more even than the fact that that Chuck Swindoll calls it the universal addiction, because at first it's like, I don't want to be labeled as an addict. But secondly, I don't want to be labeled as a sinner, maybe not even a perpetual sinner. But that's what this author says, it's the most prevalent sin in the church today. But I don't think most of us think of our worrying as a sin, do we? We it's such a part of our life in a normal way that we just don't even think about whether it's right or wrong. We just do it. We naturally move into a phase of worrying, and we don't even pause long enough to think about what am I doing here? Not just to my physical life, to my spiritual life as well. When I am constantly worrying and concerned to this degree in my life. So what is worry? What is it? First of all, don't worry about this table. We're gonna get to that in a little bit, but that's not just yet. First of all, worry is this. Here's a definition, just straight out of the internet. It says, worry is a state of anxiety or uncertainty. Can you read that? A state of anxiety or uncertainty. Here's another interesting definition of it that I enjoyed. So the first one would be a noun. This is more of a verb. Worry can be used like this. I found my dog worrying on a bone. Worrying literally means to tear at or to gnaw on or to drag around with the teeth. Think about that mental image that you get right there when you think about a dog gnawing on a bone, sitting there and just kind of going to town on a bone, chomping and chewing and just dragging that thing around. And think about that now in the concept of our worries and what those worries do in our life. What we are allowing ourselves to be subject to when we worry in our lives. Think about how a dog would tear up a bone like that and what that could possibly mean for our lives. Here's one thing that worry is not. Worry is not concern. There's a difference between worrying and being concerned. So what is the difference? Concern is a rational, healthy response that focuses on facts and motivates problem solving, whereas worry is a circular, fear-driven emotion centered on things outside your control. That puts a little bit more perspective in there when we realize that worrying is fear-driven. You see the difference there? Concern is when we do give some sort of attention, but it's something that we look at facts. We look at the situation in our life and we can naturally be concerned about our circumstance. But worry is when that circumstance, we suddenly allow fear to dominate and drive the way that our minds are processing what we are facing. Humans we are amazing at something. And this is one way that we have one-upped the entire animal kingdom. We are really good at just imagining fears. Anybody remember, maybe back from school, you hear about the concept of fight or flight? You ever heard of that? Fight or flight is this amazing response that animals, they employ this all the time. We actually have the ability for fight or flight. We just don't use it very often. But fight or flight is this, it's this thing that takes place inside of us when we sense danger. We basically have the option, am I gonna stand and face this? Am I gonna fight or am I gonna flight? Like literally get out of here because I know that something bad is about to happen. Creatures do this all the time. I love to watch these documentaries about like African safaris and watching animals as they're either trying to catch their meal or they are the next meal and they're trying to get away from their predator. But animals will employ this all the time. You know, you see a herd of zebras maybe running around out in the wild, and there's a lion who's crouched down and is coming after them, right? They sense that danger, and they get out of there. And I think that concept is one of those things, again, that we have the potential for that in our lives, this idea of fight or flight. But one thing that the animal kingdom does not do is they don't sit around and they imagine their fears. But that's something that we have the potential to do. We can be perfectly safe in our living room. We can be perfectly safe in bed. We can be perfectly safe with friends and good company. And we can sit around and we can experience all the same emotions that we would feel in the midst of a terrible situation because we begin to imagine what could all the potential danger in our life. There's a really famous study out there by a Stanford professor who talks about the fact that zebras don't get ulcers. Did you know that? Zebras do not get ulcers. Why? Because when they are in danger, they allow themselves to experience the fear and the motivation and the adrenaline that they need to escape the danger. And once they get away from that danger, what do? They go back to eating again, right? But what, as humans, what we do, we sit around, we imagine all of the potential dangers in our life. And then instead of being able to just run from those things and move on to regular life again, we just sit and we sulk and we just experience all of those emotions in an environment that was never intended for us to be fearful or in danger. We're in a safe place, a perfectly fine environment. Maybe even some of you this morning are experiencing this right now in this room, in a safe place where you are overwhelmed with feelings of anxiety and fear and frustration. And those things, they just live inside of us and eventually they catch up with us. Animals don't do that. When they're done, they move on. But we sit and we just allow that emotion to just literally take over our lives in some cases. There's a book that that Joyce Meyer, who is a kind of a TV personality. Everybody remember who or know who Joyce Meyer is? Several of you do. There's a book that she wrote. It talks about our minds, and basically I think it's called The Battlefield of the Minds, but there are a lot of quotes that I have in this message because several years ago I had read that book, and there are a lot of great things that she says about this idea of fear and anxiety, but she says it's human nature to be concerned about bad situations in our world, in our personal lives, but if we're not careful, the devil will cause us to worry beyond what's reasonable. I love the way she phrases that because, again, concern is a part of life, right? There are things that we can be concerned about, and it's perfectly fine for us to be concerned. A lot of the things that, you know, a few weeks ago when I passed the mic around and people began to talk about health situations, relationship situations, finances, the state of our world, all of those things, as we passed the mic around, I thought, wow, you have reason to be concerned. That is incredibly valid. That is incredibly valid tonight as we listen to one another's burdens that you would be concerned about those things. But there's a delicate balance that takes place when we are concerned beyond what's reasonable. Again, there's a switch that can take place in our minds when we allow the concern to move to fear and when that fear begins to drive our emotions in the way that we process and the way that we think about our lives. That's where we have to be careful. When we are completely consumed by this, our energy is devoted to it, that's when we are in the state of worry and not the state of concern. And I think that there are patterns that emerge in our life that we can begin to recognize, things that we can begin to identify that would help us understand and establish, okay, now I'm moving from a place that is healthy to a place that is unhealthy. And I need to find that balance and get back to this place over here where this is concerning, but I'm not supposed to worry about this. Everybody with me this morning?
Yeah.
Thank you, Carol. I think the reason for some of us, one of the reasons that we have a difficult time moving from a place where we're constantly worrying to just allowing concern to have its appropriate places, we simply lack the faith to trust God for our outcome. And I think that that's a really tricky thing for us to do because for a lot of us, it's easier for us to sit around and try to come up with the answer on our own, to solve the problems on our own. We think about all the different ways that we can get through something more than we do of what does God's word tell us is true. How should I evaluate this situation, turn it over to him instead of solving it on my own? So we've got these two different things. We can either trust ourselves or we can trust God. But many of us are not in the habit of trusting God and having the faith to do that. And so therefore that muscle to trust, to hand things over to the Lord is really weak in our lives. We haven't worked it. We haven't exercised it in so long that we have these muscles that are there, but they're just lying completely dormant in our lives. I had an experience like this about a year and a half ago, I was playing basketball here at the church and I tore this Achilles on my left leg. And that ended up the recovery from that. I was in a splint, and I was on crutches for several months, and I didn't get to use this left calf at all. They wanted that completely immobilized so that the tendons and the muscles could heal and repair themselves. But the result of that, even though I physically recovered from that, the result was after months and months of sitting without being used at all, this left calf muscle was incredibly weak. And to this day, a year and a half later, I still experience side effects from that. My left calf is probably about half the size of my right one now. And it's something that I notice all the time, because even though just in regular activity and everything, it seems like I'm doing normal things, I can't run the way I used to. I can't jump the way I used to. It's been a long time since I've dunked a basketball, 45 years, but I just can't do all the things that I used to do. And so I experience these side effects of a muscle sitting unused completely, and now having not used that, I can't do the things that I used to do. And the thing is, our faith muscle is exactly the same way. If we completely cut that out of our lives and we never use that muscle to guide us through situations, it's not gonna help us when we need it. It's a muscle that has to be exercised and has to be used. But instead, what we do all the time is we keep going to that healthy side, which is our own minds thinking, I know I can get through this. I know I can do this. I know I can do this. I know I can do these things. I know I can try this. We constantly depend on ourselves, and that's the first place we run to when we face danger, instead of looking to God. So it's natural when we work those same muscle groups over and over and over that we're gonna be weak in these other areas. It's like all the big dudes at the gym who constantly love chest and shoulder day, and they skip leg day every single time. I mean, we've all seen guys like that, right? Got these massive upper bodies, and then they got these twig little legs. Why? Because it's cool. Everybody loves to see the dudes lay down and bench press, okay? But nobody likes to watch somebody else do the squats, right? Most of the time you're standing behind, you're like, oh, that's weird. Okay. So we've all seen that. And it's the same in our lives when we constantly work our ability to solve and fix our own problems. We're neglecting our faith muscle. And we are neglecting our ability to trust in God because we think we can do it on our own. And here's the thing. I think that for a lot of us, this is where our biggest issue is that we do not know how to trust in the Lord. That's where we run into our worries, is because in our mind, all of the solutions we come up with, they just don't make sense. And they're just not working, and they're just not getting us anywhere. And so of course we're worried, because it's not working out, because we're doing it our way again. And we do that over and over and over, and we become members, certified members of that addiction, right? I'm in the worry club. Thank you, Chuck. So why is worry wrong? Well, we've talked about it, but let's put some actual definitions to it. I think the first reason why worry is wrong is because it puts the focus on the wrong thing. When we worry, our minds are consumed with what we are trying to solve. We are focused constantly on our issues. When all we think about when it comes to our finances is how can I try to make these two things line up constantly, we never think about who is our provider? What is my source? Or when we're so worried and we're so fixated on our health all the time. And listen, I know that there are things in our life to be concerned about. There are things in our lives that we really should give time and attention to. But again, we can't allow the problem itself to become our fixation when we serve a God who is able to provide answers, who's able to provide a way out of all of these situations for us. When we focus on our problem, we can't possibly focus on the Lord at the same time. It puts the focus on the wrong thing. Second thing is this: I think that it causes us to lose sight of who we belong to. Not only does a God exist that is capable of meeting our needs, but we also belong to that Lord, to that God. That is our God, our Heavenly Father, who longs to provide for us, who longs to care for us, who longs to bring us into relationship, to provide comfort, to provide healing, to provide wholeness in our lives in a way that only He can do. We can try to solve our issues all day long, but we're never going to solve them the way that God wants to solve them in our lives if we are constantly focused on our issues and losing sight of who we belong to. Third thing is this, here we go, Joyce Meyer again. Worry is a fruitless activity. She says this, worry is like a rocking chair. It's always in motion, but it never gets you anywhere. Think about that. You sit in a rocker, you can back and forth all day long. But where are you headed? Headed nowhere. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:27. It says, which one of you can add a single hour to your life by worrying? Which one of you? I know that I've probably taken many hours off of my life by worrying. I'm quite certain of that, but I've never added time to my life. I can't think of a single scenario in my life where I sat around and worried and obsessed over something and at the end thought, that was really good. I mean, you know, Brittany and I, we'll have little chats at home all the time where we sit around and we worry together. We do this. We're pretty good at it. And at the end of it, we're not like, that felt pretty good, didn't it, babe? Like, let's bring up another topic. Come on. We solved that one. Let's tackle the next one. Let's worry about that one for a while. Our lives are not improved by worrying. We are actually harming ourselves. And here's, if you want to get real deep in the weeds about it, I looked up what the American Psychological Association has to say about it. This is what stress can produce in our lives by a result of worry. It can cause this weakening of the immune system, which makes you feel, or makes you more likely to have colds, not like Pastor Nick, but like a real cold. It can cause high blood pressure, an upset stomach or an ulcer like we talked about, acid reflux, anxiety, increased rapid heartbeat, heart palpitations, panic attacks. Anybody ever had one of those? Cardiovascular problems, an increase in blood sugar levels can create irritable bowel problems. Anybody want that? Anybody want a friend like that? It can cause backaches, it can cause tension headaches and migraines, sleep problems, chronic fatigue syndrome, respiratory problems, heavy breathing, and just to wrap it up, worsening of skin conditions like eczema. So I actually think Joyce had it wrong. Joyce Meyer, no offense to her. When she said that our worrying is like a rocking chair, it doesn't take you anywhere. I think it'll actually take you somewhere. But I think when you arrive, you'll realize this is not where I want to be. I think worrying is actually pretty good at taking us places. But it's not good. And yet we do it over and over and over. We find ways in our lives constantly to just repeat this cycle. Why? Because we're all dirty, rotten sinners, right? We love to sin over and over and over. It still hurts. No matter how many times I hear it, I don't like to hear that worry is a sin. But Paul says this in Philippians 4:6-7. It says, do not be anxious. Some translations say, do not worry about what?
Anything.
I'm sure we all have exceptions, right? We'd love to cross out that word anything and just put a couple of things right there in parentheses. These are exceptions, right? If you only knew what they said to me, you'd be worried. If you only knew how much money I do not have, you'd be worried too. If you only knew what I might be hearing this week at the doctor, you'd be worried too. If you only knew how lonely I was, you'd be worried too. I think we can all very easily begin to make exceptions. But Paul does not give us opportunity for that. He says, don't be anxious about anything. And it's really easy to think, well, he doesn't know what I'm dealing with. He's never been in my shoes. And while that's correct, you've also never been in his shoes. Remember, this was the guy who the Lord radically transformed his life. And as a result of him surrendering his life to Jesus and being fully committed to the idea of spreading the gospel anywhere and everywhere, his life was a wreck. I mean, this was a guy who was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was imprisoned. He was chased out of town. This was a guy who experienced all of the things that most of us have probably never even dreamed of. I know that our situations are very unlike Paul's, but I think that we have to sit back and acknowledge the source of this and understand that this was a guy who did face real danger in his life. So we're not hearing from someone who is unfamiliar with the idea of suffering. We're hearing from the mouth of an author who's been there and done that when it comes to trying situations. Somebody who's walked a mile with no shoes, not just in your shoes, but with no shoes. This is somebody who has real reason to worry and to be anxious. And yet he says, do not worry about anything at all. That's the word we have in Scripture. And I think sometimes for me, maybe this is just because I'm a little immature and my mind just doesn't quite work the way it should unless I have some sort of illustration. I'm gonna invite my friends Michael and Janie to the stage this morning. Would you give them a hand as they come this way? I always need some visuals if I'm really gonna understand. And so, like I said, we are to the table now. Would you guys actually come up here? We're gonna come up a little closer so that everybody can see for sure. I wanna just use this amazing couple here. Not that they're examples of how to do it wrong, but they're just gonna be our stand-ins this morning because I think there's something that we can all learn by just simply watching what it is that we do. So Michael, if you'd stand over here just a little bit, and Janie. I've got some items up here that are gonna represent some real things that we deal with in our lives. And they're just gonna kind of stand in and show us what it's like to process things and maybe what it looks like to kind of worry about things a little bit. So Michael, the other day, was headed to work. He was driving his truck. Everybody see his truck? He was driving his truck and he noticed that his truck is making some funny noises. And so he decided that it's probably a really bad situation. He's like, I know enough about cars, it could only be either these one or two things, right? So it's probably the worst one, and that's gonna be expensive. And so Michael's worried about his truck. And so he's kind of constantly walking around carrying the burden of what could potentially be wrong with his truck all the time, okay? But because he was fiddling around with it on his way to work, he spent way too much time at home and realized that he was running out of time to get there. So Michael was speeding to work. And you know what happens when you speed? Eventually the cops caught up to him. He got a ticket on his way to work. So now Michael is not only dealing with a bad truck, he's also dealing with a traffic ticket that he got on his way to work, okay? So double whammy the other day. And speaking of work, he's not a huge fan of his job, okay? He doesn't like manual labor like he's been doing these last several years, but at the same time, that's kind of how it goes. It's his job. He's got to pay the bills. He's worried about, am I going to be able to keep this up as long as I need to? So his work is catching up with him. There you go. Thank you. That looks good on you. I like that. He used to wear one, he says. So work is really catching up with him. But it's not just his vehicle and the police and his job. I mean, it's like really wearing on him. And he feels like it's kind of taken a toll on his body as well. And so he had gone to the doctor, and the doctor told him, Michael, all of this stress is killing you. Okay, so now he has the weight of this doctor's report that's kind of hanging around his neck as well. And so Michael has to carry the burden of that stress. His physical health is suffering. Speaking of physical health, the doctor said you should probably work out. And so he decided to pump some iron with these bad boys. Okay, these are fives. So Michael joined a gym, and now he's worried about his health and his physical health. So he's got to carry that burden as well. But he's starting to see some results, okay? It's summer, pool time, beach body season, right? So he's kind of proud of a little bit. He's like, these changes are not too bad. But he's still not where he wants to be. Because he's headed to the pool this weekend. So he's got his towel. Michael loves Mario. So he's headed to the pool. Let's go around your neck there. And he loves swimming in the deep end. So he needs his goggles. Where do you want to put those? Let's just hang them on your ear. How's that sound? There you go. There you go. How's that? So his beach body, he's working on that, and he's worried that he may not exactly be in the shape that he was in, but his grandkids are going to be there, so he really needs to come prepared. He's worried kind of a little bit about his relationship with some of his grandkids. He wants to be that really good, cool, available grandpa. But again, his health isn't the greatest, so he doesn't always feel like playing with them, and things are a little bit rocky in some of these relationships. But he wants to be prepared for the water gun battle today. So those are his grandkids right there. With all of this, of course, he's very aware of his image these days, because he realizes he's reached a point in life where he's thinking about things a little bit more. So not only is he worried about his image, but he's also worried about, like, how do I look to the rest of the world? And so he's got an image to uphold. How's that feel?
That's a lot.
That's a lot, isn't it? But in the midst of all this, he's a busy guy. And this is Michael. And this is Janie. Everybody see Michael and Janie? He's a little bit concerned that as busy as he's been, as emotional as all these things are, that maybe he hasn't been focusing on Janie as much as he should be. And he feels like, I need to make some extra time. I feel like maybe our relationship is slipping a little bit. Things are getting kind of difficult. So Michael is also carrying the weight of feeling like perhaps some of the gap in their marriage is due to him and his lack of attention. So he's also really worried about him and Janie. Hang on to that. But wait, hold on. It's not done yet. So in addition to all this, he also, on his way back and forth to work, he's always listening to talk radio. He's like, our country is really struggling right now. I think that there have been better days, and I wish that my grandkids were raised in a different America than I was raised in. And so he's constantly thinking, what are we gonna do? Where is this nation headed? There you go. All right. But it doesn't end with America, right? I mean, when you think about it, it's like this whole world's kind of crazy. It's not just our country, it's our world. The world is really different than it was when I was a kid. And I don't know what this looks like for my grandkids and for their future. So he's constantly thinking about the weight of the world and carrying all of this on his shoulders. It's a lot to handle. But he's a big man, right? And you can do it. So Michael again, is constantly processing all of these things, and he's like, if only there were someone I could talk to. And so, of course, he sees his lovely wife, Janie, and she apparently is totally fine. You see what he's carrying here. And so he comes to Janie, but he realizes very quickly, Janie's got some things on her mind too. Their kids, who are much older than this, but their kids have been weighing on Janie lately, okay? Because there's just stuff going on at home. That's her home. And in the middle of all of that, she has to still do the grocery shopping. She's got to do some grocery shopping because later on tonight, Michael is going to expect a meal when he walks in the door. So she's got to get all of that stuff done. And so Michael walks in the door expecting to be able to just dump all of this stuff on her. But this is how she looks already. Why? Because she's carrying her own stuff. She's got stuff going on in her life and her world that she's dealing with. But then she sees him, and what does she do? She's like, this guy's stressed out. I know what the doctor said. She begins to carry this burden along with Michael, his health. She's like, I know he's worried about his work. She's concerned, not quite as concerned as he was. This is a little smaller. But she's still worried about his job. If he doesn't do well on his job, what's going to happen to us? We definitely can't pay for his car, all those problems he's having. And I need to work out too. Can you hold that?
Yep.
All right. And she's still worried about her image and this world. And her load continues to grow, right? She doesn't get to just carry only his burden. She has her own burdens. And Michael would love to be able to pass those things along. But at the same time, her hands are full already. And she's carrying all of her stuff and now his stuff as well. And so what do? They continue to process life together and they pass it back and forth and back and forth. I have more stuff, but I'm going to skip it this morning. Could you give them a hand this morning? You can set your stuff down. You see how our load constantly grows to the point we can't even set it down. But I think that I didn't realize that had noises to it. Oh boy. I think that one of the things that we fail to do all the time, like we talked about at the beginning, is exactly what the word encourages us to do in 1 Peter 5:7. It says, give all of your worries and cares to who? To God, for he cares about you. And I don't think that this means, you know, if you have a spouse or if you have someone in your life, a community, that you can't share your burdens with them. I think there's a lot of value in that, in having a community. But we should, first and foremost, we should give our cares to the Lord. Trust him with our burdens because he cares so much for us. I think that we so often, again, like we talked about, we just don't exercise that faith muscle and we just don't trust the Lord. We trust instead in our ability to solve it for ourselves and to give it to other people. And at the same time, we're just constantly running around with our arms full of all of life's troubles. And so constantly, we do the opposite of what Paul says to do. The rest of Philippians 4 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. I think this is a lot easier said than done. But it's work. It's work that we have to be committed to if we're ever going to experience real victory in this area of our lives. For all of us, there will not be an end to the struggles in this life. You're not gonna reach a season in your lives where now there's no more issues, no more problems. You don't get old enough where you become an adult and then you don't have any problems because you can do all your own stuff. It doesn't work that way. You don't raise your kids to eventually to the point where you don't have to worry about them anymore. You don't reach at any point in your relationships where there's no more work to be done. There's no more question, no more doubt ever about anything. That is not life. We will constantly be faced with the idea of, how do I solve this? Do I turn to the Lord or do I turn to my own effort? And Paul tells us, present your request to God. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Only after that, in every situation, once we've done that, once we look to the Lord, the one who cares for us, the one who made us, the one who loves us, after we've done that, the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. Jesus taught about this too. He taught about this a lot, actually. And I want to read you this passage as we close this morning. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this in verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? I mean, see how the flowers in the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which are here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? Even the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I think for all of us, we have a choice. What are we going to do? Are we going to trust in ourselves or are we going to trust in the Lord? Easier said than done. But I think that for every single one of us, we have to make that decision for ourselves. What are we going to do in response to the Lord's word, what we've been instructed to do? I'm going to close this morning. And as I do that, in just a moment, I want to pray over each of you, but Our greeters are going to be posted at the doors in the back, and I want to give you something this morning as you walk out of here, and I don't even have one to show you, but let's say this is it right here, okay? I've got a gift for all of you. I've got mints back at the door that have scripture printed on them, and the reason I want to give you that is because all of you need a chill pill this morning. No, just kidding. Every single one of us needs that reminder from time to time. It's easy to go back to what we know. Most of us know how to worry. Most of us don't know how to trust in the Lord. And so a little reminder like this is something that you can carry around. It's got scripture printed on it, promises that God will never leave you, never forsake you, promises that you can do all things through him, promises that he cares for you, promises that he will look after you. Promises like that. And so I want you to take one of these mints today on your way out. And when you're tempted to worry, when you're tempted to doubt, when you're facing struggles, I want you to try this. I want you to take that mint and I want you to chew on it. just as a physical reminder of what God has already promised he will do in our lives if we just look to him. Sometimes we need those little cues. It helps us to have something that we can hold on to when we serve an invisible God, when we serve a God who is seemingly far away from us. It brings his presence close to us and serves as that reminder that he loves us, he cares for us, and he longs to meet our needs and to be with us. Would you stand with me this morning? Do not worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And this is my prayer for you as well. Like Paul says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God, I thank you so much for your word today, for the reality of your presence, the reminder of your truth. Lord, I pray that you would just make yourself real this morning. Lord, I know that people are probably struggling in this place today. I pray that they would have hope, that they'd have peace in their minds. God, may you give us the tools, give us the strength to turn to you today. And Lord, I pray that as we just digest your word this morning, Lord, that in times of struggle and times when we're uncertain about what's next, God, may your word be what comes to mind first. Lord, the truth of your word and the promises that you've given us, God, may they guard our minds. And Lord, may we be quick to follow those things. God, we love you. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And we just ask this morning that as we go our separate ways, God, that you would be with us and that you would help us to look and sound more like your son, Jesus. That's our prayer. In the name of the Lord, every single person in his place this morning says, amen. Amen. Hey, love you. Thank you so much for being here today. Hope you have an amazing day. Get your mint on the way out.